Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 107. In verse 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. This is how God designed it to work. When we get into time of difficulty, when we get into time of trouble, he sends his word and he heals us. When we are wounded, he sends his word and he heals us. When something is devastating in our lives, he sends his word and he heals us and he delivers us from our destructions. And then he continues, oh, that men would, not oh, that men do, but oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The psalmist is saying here, this is how it works, but for some people it doesn't. There are people who never get victory through the word of God, through doctrine, and they live in the same problems for years, sometimes decades. In Romans 1:17, the faith that we receive by the word needs application, or it will not be the righteousness of God. In that passage, the righteousness of God is revealed first by receiving faith and then by applying faith. And then it finishes as it is written, the just will live by faith. If I do not apply the word, not only am I not living by faith, if I'm not applying the word, it's not the righteousness of God. My faith is not the righteousness of God. Only when I receive the word of God to build faith in me, and then I have faith application of the word of God, then and only then is it the righteousness of God. Because of this, there are people who are not delivered from their destructions, who are not healed by the word of God. Because their approach toward the word of God is an incomplete approach, which is very dangerous. In Romans 10:12b, the same Lord of all is rich to all who call on him. He is Lord means he gives you all the benefits that come with him being God. He is the one Lord. He is the same Lord over everybody. He is the same Lord over your situations as he is that saved you. He is Savior and Lord. Sometimes we have him just as Savior. But he is Savior and Lord. The same Lord over all. So if he is to be your Savior, that's wonderful, but he must also be your Lord. Now, this is not lordship salvation. However, we must not ignore his lordship. His lordship, ignoring that, is equivalent to not applying faith when we receive the word that produces faith. So if I apply the faith that I receive, that is what makes him Lord. If I fail to apply the faith that I received, then he is not Lord in my personal life. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, he bought you with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Because you are God's, there is no middle ground. God bought you. He didn't share you. He didn't rent you. He didn't give you 8 for 8. He didn't say, okay, come work for me for 8 hours a day and you'll get rewards for 8 hours a day and the rest of it is your time. No. He bought you. He owns you. And what he chooses to do, that's his business because we are his property. He bought us with a price. Now, there are people probably who will hear that in a negative sense, but that is one of the most positive things that can happen to a human being. That you have been purchased by God. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, what fellowship have righteousness and iniquity? What communion has light with darkness? There is no middle ground. Now, I may have this thing where I say, well, faith is my righteousness, but I don't have application because that would require a cross in my life and there's something that I want to preserve. That's iniquity. What fellowship does iniquity have with righteousness? What middle ground is there? Likewise, when I talk about the kingdoms, what communion does the kingdom of God have with the kingdom of Satan? Light has no communion with darkness. There is no middle ground between the kingdoms, albeit some believers live as though there were. Yet there is no middle ground between the two kingdoms. When God says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you, the opposite of it is not simply withdrawing from God and remaining somewhere in the middle. Not simply, okay, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm kind of out there. I'm not against God, but you know what? I'm out there. I'm not for the devil, but I'm not against God. But you know what? I'm not going to yield today. No, you don't understand how this works. There is no middle ground. I'm either drawing near to God or I'm drawing near to the devil. I'm either drawing near to the kingdom of God or I'm drawing near to the throne of iniquity, which is evil, Satan's kingdom. It's one or the other. When the word of God says he sent his word to heal them, but there are those who do not receive the healing, it's because they are misaligned to kingdoms. They don't realize it. In most cases, it's in perfect ignorance. But they are misaligned to kingdoms, and that's why the healing doesn't come. In Ephesians 4:15, we are to grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Christ. Where there is no growth toward truth, there is growth to the enemy's kingdom. I'm going to grow up in one direction or the other. I'm going to serve one kingdom or another. Some people think they're serving themselves. What they don't recognize is by serving yourself, that is serving the enemy's kingdom. It is a throne of iniquity in Psalm 91:20. Iniquity is self-orientation. It's a throne of self-orientation that is Satan's throne. It is the throne of the kingdom of evil. So, I'm either drawing near to him or I'm drawing near to iniquity, which is Satan's throne. There is no middle ground. We grow up in him or we grow up in the enemy's camp. Some people are very skilled in the enemy's camp, albeit they are religious. They'll put on a good show, but they don't have life. They'll have all the right words, but they won't have the right heart. They'll do all the right things outwardly, but in their hearts, in their minds, their thought life is horrendous. They're in the enemy's camp, pretending to be in the kingdom of God, but they have a faith that is not applied. And they train themselves for the enemy's kingdom by receiving faith and not applying it. It's very serious. In Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Because if you say that I am the Lord, and you believe that my word is valuable, then why don't you apply my word? If you believe it is the word of God, why don't you apply it? If you believe that it is the word of truth, why don't you apply it? Why do you say to yourself, I have this reason, and because of this reason, I cannot respond in faith? That's the enemy's camp. The enemy will give you refuge in a lie. You do not enter the enemy's camp. And the way that you prevent yourself from applying it is faith with faith application. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. You hear the word of God, you receive faith in Romans 10:17. Then you apply the word of God in faith. That's faith to faith. And now you are living by faith where the righteousness of God is revealed. Anything else is unrighteousness. In Isaiah 8:19, when they shall say to you, seek unto them that have a familiar spirit, and unto wizards that peep and mutter, should not people seek their own God? In Luke 19:31, regard them not that have familiar spirits, to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Now, familiar spirits. This is how Dr. Stevens defined it. A familiar spirit is a spirit that mutters. It's engaged in at least one of five behaviors. Ask yourself, is this describing me? Don't be condemned if it is. But self-examination to see if you are in the most holy faith is important. Because if I don't examine myself to see if I'm living in faith, then I might not be living in faith. And I may be functionally in the enemy's kingdom. He said familiar spirits are engaged in at least one of five behaviors. These are passivity, murmuring, complaining, reacting negatively, or refusing to obey. That is to say, Christ, the Word of God. It means to utter sounds because of close atmospheric contact with a personality from the air. A familiar spirit is a demonic spirit. Now, demons, and we're not overly occupied with demons, but we do have to be aware of them because we do war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Familiar spirits are very active with believers. And believers are often, without realizing it, completely influenced by familiar spirits. They are demons, and they're demons in some cases that seem friendly. Do you remember, for example, the young lady in Acts that had the spirit of divination? And she kept saying, follow Paul, follow Paul, he's got the truth, follow Paul. And she became such a distraction that Paul cast the demon out of her. Now, there's a lot of pastors, a lot of churches where if somebody came around saying, follow this guy, follow their church, go to this church, go after them. He's got the truth, go after him. They would welcome it with open arm, but this was a demon. That was a familiar spirit. Now, when a familiar spirit comes along, it has an impact and you don't necessarily notice the impact because of the way that it interacts. In Genesis 3:1, the serpent was more crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God has made. And he, that is to say Satan, said to the woman, can it really be that God has said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? In the original language, this was in the Amplified, they're one of the better translations for this. In the original language, it's actually saying, does it make any sense to you, Eve, that God would say this? And the implication was that the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, was the most beautiful and desirable of all the trees. And that was the only one they couldn't eat from. And Satan is saying to her, can it really be? Does it make any sense to you? I mean, look at this tree. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Come on, Eve. Use your mind. Use your brain. Look at this thing. This is a beautiful tree. What's so wrong with this? That's a familiar spirit. Satan was acting in the garden as a familiar spirit. He wasn't outright attacking God. He was attacking him, but he wasn't attacking him by slandering him outright. He was attacking him by getting her to think things apart from doctrine. Familiar spirits say, I have common sense to follow. They promote familiar attitudes toward the Word of God among believers, toward the body of Christ, toward church among believers. Now, familiarity is not the colloquial familiarity that we all think of. Yes, I'm well acquainted with it. I'm familiar with that. That's not familiarity. Biblical familiarity, in other words, what we are talking about here, familiarity, is not a positive thing at all. It's not being acquainted with it. It has lost its value to you. You think you know it so well, it's no longer precious. That's familiarity. Familiar spirits bring in familiarity. And in the case of people like Eve and other people, they say, use your common sense. You don't need the Holy Spirit to answer this for you. You don't need to be guided in all truth here in John 16:13, even though God says in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's just put that aside for a little bit. You don't need to constantly pray about every decision, despite the fact that Romans 5:3-5 says, don't lean on your own understanding and acknowledge the Lord in all your ways so that he directs your path. You don't need to do that. Use your own common sense. Eve, use your common sense. This tree is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with it. I know what God said. Maybe you misunderstood. Maybe he's holding out on something. But whatever it is, you don't have it right. Your common sense will get it right. Don't try to figure God out, Eve. If you don't understand, don't obey. Just do what you think is right. Do what you think is best for you and your family. And the result was quite devastating, and we still suffer from that result today. Every human being that has ever lived suffered profoundly because of Eve's interaction with that familiar spirit. It wasn't friendly at all. It was devastating. Familiar spirits are devastating. In Isaiah 6:8, Isaiah said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. That is a confession that familiar spirits do not want to hear. Isaiah did not have a familiar spirit. Familiar spirits are wandering spirits. They seduce people to stray from that which is sacred and travel looking for that which appeals to their emotions. They don't recognize the value of what God has given them. There are people, for example, I used to know a few people like this, not from Bible college, but it was in my Bible college days, a few Christians, who considered the mission field. I remember one lady, she was a nurse that I worked with. Her husband came home, and he was involved with a missions organization. And he came home from a trip and he said, honey, I believe God is calling us to Russia to be missionaries. And she said to him, Russia may be in your plans, but they're not in mine. You see, that was a familiar spirit. The comfort of Russia did not compare in her mind to the comfort of what she had in the States. The challenge of the mission field in her mind was not valuable like her comfortable house and all her comfortable friends, her comfortable job. That was valuable. Sometimes people will not go to places, for example, because of fear. Or sometimes people will not stay in their call because of comfort. I knew a man who was called to a certain place, certain European city. This is years and years ago. And his wife truly didn't want to be there. And I remember talking to him one time, and he said, "There's nothing about this place that would draw me, except that I know it's the will of God." And he would pray for his wife, and she really did not want to be there. And he said to her, "Let's do it in 6-month increments, and we'll reevaluate every 6 months whether we'll stay." 30-some-odd years later, they're still there. And his wife loves the place. She had to contend with a familiar spirit. Now, there are people who may say, "Well, she just didn't like it." That's a natural thing. Yeah, familiar spirits do have common sense for you. No, that was a familiar spirit. I know the city. I've visited them and the city. The city is quite nice. But it was a cultural change she wasn't ready for. She wanted the comfort of what she was accustomed to. She had a familiar spirit. He did not have that familiar spirit in this particular case. And he prevailed through the wisdom that God gave him and the love that he had for his wife. Familiar spirits will say to you, "This has no value because this has no comfort." A familiar spirit will say to you, "This has no value because it brings negative emotions. This has no value because it is challenging. This has no value because essentially it brings trials into our lives." Those are familiar spirits speaking. My friend had it right. I'm called here, and the rest doesn't matter. Now, that may seem hard to people. People with familiar spirits will react at something like this because the familiar spirit depends on you being the center of everything. You're the standard. It's about you. The world does revolve around you. It's about how you like it, and anything that doesn't agree with how you like it is not a good thing. It can't be God if I don't enjoy it. That's a familiar spirit. In Hebrews 6:4, it's impossible for those who were once enlightened to have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify Christ again for themselves, the Son of God, and put him to an open shame. Now, people with familiar spirits will continue until things get challenging. They'll be in a church. Sometimes they'll be very popular in the church. Sometimes they'll even be very active in the church. But then something challenges them. And though they at one time said, "This is my call," the challenge changes their mind. The challenge says to them, "This is not good." I knew a guy one time whose pastor was being attacked. He was an assistant pastor for this person. In a certain place, the pastor was being attacked, and there was a conspiracy that formed against him. The guy didn't say a word to anybody, including the pastor, and he vanished. He moved to a different state. And then it turns out that he moved because of the conspiracy. He didn't want to deal with the warfare. That was a familiar spirit. The familiar spirit says, this is too much. I'm going to quit. I'm going to leave. I'm not going to deal with it here. I got to protect my family, you know. That's a familiar spirit. God gives you all the provisions you need for any element of warfare that you face. Running is not an option. Running is what 1 Corinthians 3 calls stubble. That's the stuff that gets burned up. No reward. Now, if you were going right with God, and maybe you overcame demonic influences in your life, which basically every unsaved person has, and you had a life with God, the familiar spirits will have left you so long as you were right with God. But then something happens, and I've known so many people like this. Some of them fell into sin. One of them, who was a good friend of mine once upon a time, he's a wonderful man of God, fell into adultery. One of them left his wife and his call because he wanted to drink in bars. He wanted to go bar hopping. Strangest reasons. These are familiar spirits. Now the problem is when a person was right with God, there were no familiar spirits, but then they backslide and the familiar spirits come back in. It's very hard to restore this person. Virtually impossible. It's impossible if they fall away to renew them again to repentance because they crucify Christ again. In other words, though in Ephesians 2, 15 and 16, they were and are positionally still, but in their experience when they were living correctly with God, they were one new man with Him. They crucified Him again. And Christ became dead to them. And now they bore the name of Christ and they're putting Him to shame. If you deal with a familiar spirit whereby you actually remove it, like those people who get a life with God, they were saved, they grow, they flourish, they have this life with God, like so many of these people have. And then you put it away, and then you don't have a relationship with the Lordship of Christ. In Luke 11:24 to 26, seven more powerful demons come in along with that same initial familiar spirit. There are degrees of power and wickedness in the demonic world. You may be plagued by a familiar spirit. You may simply think of it as wrong thinking, and certainly wrong thinking is involved, but it's a spirit issue, actually. And then you get right. And then you stop being right. That will leave you in a much worse position. Because not only are the demons involved in that, much more powerful, there's more of them. In Psalm 119:25, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. And then in 2 Corinthians 3:17 in the B part, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God, through His Word and His Spirit, breaks familiar spirits and all their effects in a person's life. God will remove them. If I have a familiar spirit, then I need desperately to not continue in the mindset that allowed me to get there in the first place. Often people will say, well, this situation or this person or this event that happened, whatever it is, they'll use it as an excuse, but they're taking refuge in a lie. They're saying, I can't, I just don't have the capacity because this person did this to me. That's a lie. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when I turn to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit has free reign in my life, because I'm not indulging self-orientation, then I will find liberty. Then the Holy Spirit will break through all that the familiar spirits are and all that they do. It will not happen outside of the Word of God, and it will not happen outside of the Holy Spirit. Those are the things that are my provision first against them, and then if the familiar spirits are there, those are the things that will get rid of them. Why is someone who has heard the Word of God for years not able to be delivered? Because of familiar spirits. They indulge self-orientation, thinking, well, that's just me. But Satan was more subtle than any other creature. And he still is. No, it really is not just you. It's an entire kingdom that you are yielding to by means of familiar spirit. The reason why you're not delivered is because you have not done what is necessary to deal with those familiar spirits. Remember, you're either drawing near to one kingdom or you are drawing near to the other kingdom. There is no middle ground. You can't just say, well, I'm a little bit backslidden. I know I should really get my life together in this area with God. I know I should really get serious about the Word of God. I know, or prayer, or whatever else that it is that people need from God and ignore. I know I should, but you never will. Because once you get there, you've got more demons to deal with than you ever imagined. Unless you draw near to the Word of God and you give the Holy Spirit free reign. Now, how do I do that? Christ is Lord of all. When I apply doctrine, then I'm living in the government of God. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. That Word of God is rhema, not logos. Faith comes by specific definition that you receive from God, and that usually comes during a message in church. It can come other ways too, but that's the most common way. You respond to that and you apply in the details of your life. In other words, you do it. Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I have told you? Obviously, I'm not your Lord. Well, he is Savior, but he also needs to be Lord. And if he isn't Lord, then somebody else will be. And that's the part that people don't realize. That if Christ isn't Lord, a familiar spirit will be Lord. A demon. if I'm not operating practically in the kingdom of God, I am operating practically in the kingdom of Satan, even though I may be a good guy and not do terribly wicked things. But I don't glorify God, I put him to a shame. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Word of God is, there is faith. In John 16:13, the Holy Spirit guides me in all truth. In other words, I have faith and the Holy Spirit teaches me to apply it. Now there's a government. What I need is that government. In Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And of course he's quoting from Isaiah. "Because of this he anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim remission to captives, and to the blind to see again, to send away the ones being crushed in remission, to preach an acceptable year of the Lord." He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, this was Isaiah's prophecy. Right after Jesus read this in the temple, he said, "Today, in your hearing, this scripture, this promise, this prophecy has been fulfilled." He's talking about himself as Lord. Now, what does he do? He heals the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted is not just somebody who had something bad happen. Maybe they lost a loved one or broken up with somebody and now they're brokenhearted. It's not an emotion thing. Brokenhearted refers to a broken frame of reference, a broken soul, broken character, broken understanding, broken thoughts, broken passions and desires, appetites and endeavors, affections and purposes. A broken purpose needs to be healed. A broken affection needs to be healed. Broken desires need to be healed. Broken thoughts, broken understanding, a broken soul. The soul has five parts. Any one of those can be broken. The mind, emotions, conscience, self-consciousness, and volition can be broken. And they need to be healed. They're broken when Jesus is not my Lord. The healer will protect me as long as he is my Lord. But when a familiar spirit comes in, if I get into the Word and I'm led by the Holy Spirit, the way I'm led by the Holy Spirit is through applying the Word of God. And He directs my steps because I've acknowledged Him in that application of the Word of God. Then He is my Lord. And then the healing does come. Then the Word does heal me. The deliverance does arrive. And everything that was broken is made whole again. In Job 33:4, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." In 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, and for correction, and instruction in righteousness, so that," in verse 17, "the man of God may be perfected." The Spirit of God gives me life through the Word of God. And that's how I become mature. That's how I become whole. That's how I grow. If you're not growing in the kingdom of God, you are growing in the kingdom of Satan. If you are growing in the kingdom of God, you're being delivered from the kingdom of Satan. You're being delivered from familiar spirits. You were bought with a price in 1 Corinthians 7:23. Don't serve your own desires. Don't serve your own thoughts. Don't serve your own opinions, your own common sense. Don't serve your own way of doing things. Don't serve your opinions contrary to doctrine. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. If you're going to call him Lord, then do what he tells you so that he can be your Lord. And that's where you'll be delivered. Now, the other option is familiar spirit. But the presence of God and the life with God is very soothing and very healing and very encouraging. It's a life that empowers you for everything. And the wicked one can't touch you because you're hidden in Christ in a practical manifestation of his life in you. There is no familiar spirit there. There is only, in Galatians 2:20, faith toward the cross, whereby it's not you that lives, it's Christ's life in you. And Christ's life in you is better than a familiar spirit. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you." Amen.